Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, also a pastor of a church out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado, hanging on to faith, family, and freedom, and the great decline, the great downgrade of the 21st century as the Christian church is increasingly walking away from the faith and the millennial generation, walking away from the faith. We are living in the greatest apostasy numbers-wise in the history of the Christian church. It's affected Europe now. It's impacting America and Canada. And, you know, there will be those who keep the faith. There will be those that will walk away. There will be those that will not survive the post-Christian storms. These hurricanes running at a 7 level and the winds upwards of 280 miles per hour as they're sweeping people off the deck on the right and on the left. But by God's grace, he will sustain. By God's grace, he will preserve. He always does. And the church will continue, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But the Southern Baptist Church is not doing well. Bill, these are some of the worst days in the history of the Southern Baptist Church. Yeah. Am I exaggerating?
No. 30 years ago, they fought a battle which was known as the conservative resurgence.
Yeah.
And it was a battle against the conservatives versus the liberals within the theological movements in the Southern Baptist Church. And the conservative movement won the day.
Yeah, and they took the right stance on abortion,
they finally. They took the right stance on a lot of things.
79, yeah. Something like that. Yeah, there was a conservative resurgence, but now it's incredible that it's the woke thing. It's the critical race theory, intersectionality, that is tearing apart the Southern Baptist denomination. I would not have guessed it would have been critical race theory that would have torn them up and ripped them to shreds, but that's what's happening right now. The zeitgeist of the gender confusion and the Marxist, Gramscian zeitgeist that is blowing so hard is just something that the modern Southern Baptist Convention just simply cannot handle. J.D. Greer's radical agenda was approved in the last minutes at the Southern Baptist Convention this year, and that was to include what they called Resolution 9 on critical race theory and intersectionality at their annual meeting towards the end of last week. Now, Al Mohler was not happy with Resolution 9. Here's what Al Mohler had to say about it.
We need to define intersectionality.
We'll do that in just a moment. Let's go there in just a moment. But here's what Al Mohler said about this Resolution 9. Ideas, as we know, do have consequences. The main consequence of critical race theory is identity politics. And identity politics can only rightly be described as antithetical to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have to see identity politics as nothing less than devastating to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He calls it devastating. This is the ripping to shreds of the gospel. This is antithetical to the gospel. Evidently, the Southern Baptist Convention has apostatized. At least that seems to be the wording that Al Mohler is using.
It's the first step towards that, because they're saying that these ideologies and the philosophies of the world are helpful tools to diagnose and address social ills in a depraved world. Now, once you compromise on that, once you say Scripture is not sufficient, we need some helpful tools from the world, then you have abandoned the faith. You have abandoned the sufficiency of Scripture, and you have agreed that man's wisdom trumps God's word. And that is the danger. It is not merely, let's use this tool. It is, let's abandon this tool in favor of this tool.
Mm-hmm.
Let's abandon the word of God in favor of man's wisdom.
You know, it's a surprise to me the Southern Baptists have been taken apart by critical race theory, but the Southern Baptist Church and the PCA also were mired in Southern slavery and the debates on slavery outside of the framework of God's law in an antinomian evangelical world will tear apart the Southern Baptist and the PCA. There will be no mercy in the destruction of these denominations, friends. If you abandon God's law, the absolute standard, ethical standard of God's law, this whole critical race theory is centered around an ethical conundrum. It's centered around ethical debates, you know, things like reparations and such.
Right.
And so it's all ethical. So the question is, if they refuse God's laws, and indeed, sadly, most of the American Evangelical Church, indeed, a great deal of the Reformed churches as well, have abandoned God's laws in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament as giving us an objective place to stand ethically. If right and wrong is not determined by God's law, but by wherever the zeitgeist happens to be blowing, Christians, you're in trouble. You're in a lot of trouble, and your denominations will come down. And that's what we're going to see.
Yeah, and here's the resolution in part. whereas critical race theory and intersectionality alone are insufficient to diagnose and redress the root causes of the social ills that they identify, which result from sin, yet, now here's that yet, that little but, okay? Yet, these analytical tools can aid in evaluating a variety of human experiences. In other words, we need help. It's not Scripture alone that is sufficient.
Why did the majority of the Southern Baptist Convention vote for Resolution 9? I've got a reason for it. Guilt. Guilt. They're guilty. They feel guilt. Now,
it's,
of course,
it's the guilt feelings. It's not that they are guilty. They have guilt feelings. The guilt has been dealt with after the Civil War because they should have repented. And once you repent, guilt is done. But they have succumbed to the age-old ploy by the enemy of guilt feelings. Rather than standing up and shaking their fist in the face of Satan and saying, "You get behind me because I've put that at the foot of the cross. I am no longer guilty."
Bill, what
we
cross?
We have let guilt feelings rule us.
Yeah, what gospel? What cross? The problem, Bill, is that there isn't a cross for them. If there was a cross, if there was a gospel, then there would be forgiveness and there would be a forgiving towards one another.
Yes.
And that's the root. The root issue is that we're looking at apostasy in the American Evangelical Church. They don't forgive each other because they're not forgiven. And they don't experience the forgiveness of Jesus at the cross. Friends, this whole guilt thing is imposed on them because these are people not under the cross of Jesus. They're concerned about offending other people of different colors. That's not the issue, man. That's not the issue. It's not the victims that matter compared to God. You've offended God 100,000 times worse and more fundamentally than you've offended anybody else. And that's what the victimology does not receive. The victimology that is being received by those who have rejected the gospel in the Southern Baptist Convention, they do not believe that their offense is against God. And they don't believe that their offenses have been forgiven by God. And therefore, they will not forgive each other. Friends, this is just the unraveling of the gospel that is going on in American evangelical churches, where there is so much bitterness and so much anger and so much malice and so much church hopping because people are offended by each other. This isn't the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the absence of the gospel. This is the absence of forgiveness. This is the absence of forgiving one another. This is not Christian. We'll be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson. And I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
We are back on the Generations Broadcast. Friends, the Resolution 9 passed by the Southern Baptist Convention on Intersectionality and Critical Race Theory. And one commentator of the SBC resolution says entity heads are all universally more progressive than Baptists in the pew and altogether unaccountable to them. They are only accountable to trustees that they themselves choose through a process of nomination they control. He calls it the ERLC, Lifeway, the Executive Committee, IMB, the seminaries. They're all woke. He says they're all woke. I don't know if that's true or not, but yeah. a fair number of the leaders coming out of liberal arts universities and leading these aspects of American denominations have pretty much bought into the zeitgeist. They've woke, which is a perceived awareness of issues concerning social justice and racial justice, meaning you've awakened to your Marxist revolutionary inclinations that lie within all of us in the unredeemed state. So what is this critical race theory? Turns out critical race theory is that theory that racism is ingrained in the fabric and system of the American society. The individual racist need not exist to note that the institutional racism is pervasive in the dominant culture. This is the analytical lens that CRT uses in examining existing power structures. Intersectionality was coined by a black feminist scholar named Kimberly Williams Crenshaw in 1989. It's understood to be a religion. So intersectionality itself is a religion. It defines perceived discrimination as the ultimate sin, sort of like trumping perceived discrimination over all other sins. It actually turns into a moralistic cult.
Right.
It was an attempt to unify all of those who sense any inequality in race, sexual orientation, gender, and economic class, sexual orientation being added more recently. So the problem perceived, the problem defined by those who adopt intersectionality, the sin for intersectionality people is any perceived inequality or stratification. So that's
or
it.
Discrimination.
That's the sin.
Yeah.
Well, what's the problem with this, friends? Here's the problem. The perception of marginalization or stratification is a very, very subjective thing. It's very slippery. So you can't never get your hands around it. It's a sin that cannot be defined well.
It's a baggy monster. You grab it on one side, it squeezes out on the other
exactly.
side.
Exactly. The perception of marginalization or stratification as defined as a sin by the intersectionalists is a very, very subjective thing. The assumption that all inequality is evil is of course, very wrong. I mean, that's just wrong. That's just unbiblical. That's Marxism. The idea of equality in roles, equality in economics, equality in this or that, not biblical, just plain old-fashioned not biblical. And the idea that inequality itself is essentially a sin, yeah, I know the Marxists say that, but I'm sorry, the Word of God does not uphold that. So those who say it is a sin have rejected biblical ethics. The definition of equal opportunity also is very, very slippery. So, everybody wants an equal opportunity. Well, what in the world is that?
Exactly.
Very, 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 very slippery. And none of it submits to the law of God as the basis of morality. Now, this is the typical demonic strategy. This is the way the demons run. This is how they roll.
Yeah, it goes back to, did God really say?
And it's confusing. It's obfuscating. It disables any unity whatsoever, intended to create more racial disunity, class envy, anger, and confusion. This is the tool to divide and conquer.
There's an excellent article by Josh Buice, B-U-I-C-E, and it's called The Woke Tools of the SBC, A Review of Resolution 9 on Critical Race Theory and Intersectionality. And here's what he says. Intersectionality has convinced many within evangelicalism to replace theology with victimology, swap pastors with sociologists, and trade theologians for political activists. We will never achieve reconciliation and unity and equality through social justice. The SBC has made a serious mistake, and one that without stern correction will be a tipping point for an already vulnerable and numerically decreasing convention of churches.
At root, this is the abandonment of God's word and God's laws, definition of what is right and wrong. And friends, that's the ultimate satanic approach to undermining the faith and to basically lead men to the deceived state that that Eve found herself in when she believed the devil who said, you will determine right and wrong for yourself. Friends, this is ultimate satanic abandonment of God's laws and God's definitions of what is right and wrong, and also very diversionary, very confusing, intended to obfuscate any kind of truth and disable the unity of the body in the bond of peace. This is turning the enemy into something anomalous. We don't discuss bad ideas or sinful actions or sinful people on the basis of God's law. We just say the system is bad. And we need continual revolution to change everything. That's what they're saying. That's intersectionality. That is critical race theory. That is it.
That's it in a nutshell. What they're saying is, no, no, individuals aren't racist anymore. It's just the system is bad and we need a continual revolution to change everything. That's just Marxism. Another way to bring Marxist revolution into the world. Indeed, if you want to know how Marxist revolutions work out, just look at your South American banana republics, your African banana republics, the Soviet Union. You know, if you want to know where this goes, friends, we've got many examples of how this Marxist revolutionary thought goes over the last 150 years. If you want to know the level of bloodshed, the level of tyranny, the level of evil that this kind of doctrine brings to nation states in South Africa, South America, and everywhere around the world, just read the history books. Do a Google search. You'll figure it out. So if you want to know where these guys want to take a nation, that's the way it goes.
And it's really interesting. The warning that was given by this author, Josh Busey, he quotes Charles Spurgeon, who was addressing the compromise between Baptists in England. And he penned, quote, "the downgrade in the churches." And here's what Charles Spurgeon wrote. "A chasm is opening between the men who believe their Bibles and those who are prepared for an advance upon the Scripture. The house is being robbed. Its very walls are being digged down. But the good people who are in bed are too fond of the warmth to go downstairs to meet the burglars." We need to stand. We need to address the invasion of those who are secularists, of those who are God-haters, of those who deny Scripture, and we need to confront them and throw them out of the house. Mm-hmm. This is God's house.
Yeah.
We need to stand on God's word.
Well, according to critical racial theory, the sin for critical racial theorists is that white people have more privilege and power and money than people of color. The assumption, of course, is that the hatred of people of color is endemic in a system created by a people of a certain color. The free market was developed by people of a certain color, so it must be hateful. The public schools were developed by people of a certain color, so they must be hateful. The U.S. Constitution was developed by people of a certain color, so it must be hateful. The Bible was translated in English by people of a certain color, so it must be hateful. So, friends, these are huge logical errors in these liberal systems, but logic is not what these people are good at. But in the end, this is just angry, bitter post-Christians arguing with others over the world's definitions of sin, the world's chaotic, disunified mess. These are Christians who went to liberal arts colleges and learned all the latest lingo for liberalism's agenda to destroy society by their multicultural destructive agenda. Guys, this isn't Jesus. Jesus isn't there. He's not in discussions on intersectionality. He doesn't even show up on discussions on critical race theory. Why? Because there is only one race. Why? Because he makes us all one at his cross. We need to abandon the Zeitgeist Bill. We need to get our kids out of Wheaton College, Azusa Pacific, and all the other liberal arts colleges that are introducing the gender discussions, the intersectionality discussions, the confused racial theory discussions. It's not critical race theory. It's confused race theory. That's what it is. And we need to use the Word of God to equip the man of God for every good work. We need to bow the epistemological and ethical knee to the Word of God and say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant hears." That's where we need to be on this issue. And friends, if you want to know more about the influence of Karl Marx upon our Christian colleges, the influence of Karl Marx upon pretty much every university in America, with very few exceptions, get a copy of Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. This is our best seller for this organization, and it has had a fairly significant influence upon the Christian world and the Christian college world and the Christian homeschooling world, because we are presenting a whole different way of looking at education, a whole different way of looking at liberal arts. We must bring a highly critical analysis into liberal arts. We must engage the war of the worldviews. This idea that we go into liberal arts to engage in the conversation. No, no, no. It isn't the great conversation. It is the great confrontation. This is the thesis against antithesis, and that's also why we put together the course Worldviews in Conflict. It's an 11th, 12th grade, early college presentation of liberal concepts, liberal philosophies, and liberal literary giants like Shakespeare, Nathaniel Hawthorne, Mark Twain, and all of the other quote-unquote greats. But we slice and dice. Until we slice and dice the Mark Twains of the world, until we come out and engage the discussion with a distinctively biblical worldview and cast down the imaginations of Mark Twain, Nathaniel Hawthorne, and the whole lot of them, until we engage the hardcore discussions, the confrontations against these horrible ideas that have been espoused by liberal arts classrooms and Christian literature presentations that haven't attacked the ideas of Mark Twain and Nathaniel Hawthorne, we're going to be in trouble, especially as most of our future pastors and leaders tend to go through these liberal arts colleges and produce the worst effects of progressivism in the Christian church. Friends, we're not going to see a reformation. So let's reform liberal arts. Let's engage the reformation now. Let's give our children in our Christian schools, our Christian colleges, and our Christian homeschools Worldviews in Conflict, a literature analysis that brings confrontation into the analysis of the great literature of the day. Grab a copy of Worldviews in Conflict or Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.